This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, I'm on a new series this month called The Fruit of the Spirit. Amen? And so my subtitle is Love, the Root of the Fruit. And so today I'm going to be endeavoring to talk to you about how powerful love is and how we should be walking in love every day of our lives. Amen? Has anybody ever had a love challenge in here? Amen. Have you ever been challenged to walk in love? Amen? And because we live in this life and we're going to have opportunities to be offended. You know, we're all going to have opportunities to get angry, get upset. Is that right? You might have had some opportunities this morning, maybe yesterday, maybe last week. We're all going to have opportunities, amen? But you don't have to take that opportunity. You don't have to walk in offense. You can walk in love. Say, I'm walking in love. Amen. And so I'm talking to you today about walking in love and walking in the Spirit of the Lord. You know, it's akin to walking in the Spirit. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're walking in love. Amen? Opposed to walking in the flesh, and you're walking in all the negative things that we walk in, like depression and anger and bitterness and all that. And so let me start off with Galatians 5, 16 through 18. This is powerful. It says here, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So what Paul is saying, you know, it's interesting. Before you got saved, anybody remember before you got saved, you had no problems that you were aware of. But as soon as you got saved, you start realizing there were some issues. In other words, you started realizing there was things that you needed to change. Is there anybody in here that need to change some things? Amen. That we're in a process of change. Amen. Hopefully we're not staying the same. Hopefully we are growing. Amen. Hopefully we're getting better. Amen. And so Paul is saying here, there's a fight that's going on constantly, and it's a battle against the flesh and against the Spirit. And the flesh is the unrenewed part of us. It's the part of us that wants it our way. That's the flesh. It's, I want it my way. But the Spirit wants it God's way. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? So the Spirit always wants it God's way, and the flesh wants it your way. In other words, the flesh always wants a shortcut. But there's no shortcuts in God. Remember when Jesus was in the wilderness and he was fasting and praying for 40 days in the wilderness before he went into his public ministry? Remember that? And he was tested by the devil, and the devil was testing him in his flesh. And he was testing him with food. That was the first thing that he was tested with. And what if Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So your spirit man, so the word of God is faith food for your spirit man. And the reason why sometimes the flesh is winning over bigger in our life than the Spirit is because we're not feeding our spirit the Word of God like we need to. Somebody say, I need the Word of God. And so we need to feed our spirits the Word of God, and that's how we get strong and able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen? So we have a choice to walk in either the flesh or the Spirit. And I don't know about you, but I want to walk in the Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit, there's every good thing that comes out of walking in the Spirit. Amen. So love produces fruit, grace, blessings in our life. Flesh produces negative consequences of judgment and death in a person's life. Wow, that's powerful. That's powerful. So walking in the Spirit or walking in love produces the blessing of grace in our life. Walking in the flesh produces death in our life. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Boy, this is a quiet crowd today. Amen. Hallelujah. Again, the flesh is selfish. Love is selfless. The flesh takes, love gives. The flesh walks in offense, love walks in forgiveness. The flesh is unthankful, love is thankful. Think about that. And so the goal of my series is to get you to walk in the love of God that you can bear the fruit of the Spirit in your lives. And the fruit of the Spirit is awesome. We're going to talk about that in a few moments. But you know, the number one thing that God wants you to do, you may say, well, I wonder what God wants me. What does he want in my life? What is his plan in my life? You ever prayed and asked God, what is your plan for me in my life? Well, his plan for you is number one, if you don't know Jesus, is to know Jesus. That's number one. You got to know Jesus. But that's the number one plan. But in number two, once you know Jesus, the you can say the number two plan, are you ready for this? Is that God is calling each one of us to bear good fruit. Amen. Amen. In other words, he wants us bearing good fruit. Hallelujah. So I'm calling you, this church family, a 100-fold good fruit-bearing church. Because Jesus said 30, 60, and 100-fold you can produce in your life. But you're producing 100-fold fruit in your life. Say, I'm a 100-fold fruit bearer. Why not go for the best that God has for you? Why just settle for 30 when you can have 100? And I want 100. I want to walk in that 100-fold blessing in my life. How many people want to walk in the 100-fold blessing? I mean, you'd rather get an A than a D, right, on the test. You'd rather get a 100 plus, amen? Maybe an A plus, glory to God. And so I hopefully in this series, as I minister on love, it'll get you into a place where you're walking in optimal fruit grace in your lives. And I'm telling you, it is a battle every day to walk in love. It can be a battle every day if you're not careful. Amen. And so Jesus said this in John 15:5. This is powerful. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. That's powerful. So Jesus is saying he's the vine and we're the branches. And he's saying that as we abide in him, as we abide and maintain our stance in him, we will just out of the outflow of that bear good fruit. In other words, you don't have to force good fruit to come out of your life. If you just stay in the Word of God, if you stay in the vine, then the fruit will come out. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? So you don't have to make yourself be nice. Amen. In other words, as you stay in God and as you meditate on his word will make you nice. How many mean people do I have out here? Okay, I got an honest hand, glory to God. And honorary people, amen. And sometimes you can be honored, but God can change that. Do you believe that? God can change your disposition. Maybe you have a negative disposition. You know, nothing's ever, you're never satisfied. I hope you're not that person that's never satisfied. You know, I'm never satisfied with anything. Everything has to get better and better. No, there is a place for that. We always want to get into a place where we're not satisfied with God, but we got to be content in the state that God put us in. Amen. Amen. There is a place where it says, you know, be content, but keep pressing in. Be content, but keep pressing in. Amen. So he's saying here that we have to abide in vine. And then he says this in John 15, verse 16. This is Jesus. It's in red. He said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He will give you. Amen. That's powerful. So he's saying here that he's saying at the beginning, you didn't really choose God. You didn't choose Jesus. He chose you. Somebody say, I'm chosen. Amen. Not I'm frozen, but I'm chosen. Amen. Yeah, you're chosen, not frozen. Amen. And God has chose you to bear good fruit. That's number one. He's chosen you to receive Jesus, and he's chosen you to bear good fruit. And I love that. And so now we're going to drop down to Galatians 5, 22 and 24. And it says here, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wow, that's a good one. Against such there is no law, and those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you living a crucified life? Ooh, man, I'm going somewhere today. I'm going somewhere. Are you living a crucified life? Are you picking up your cross and following Jesus every day? Or are you saying, Jesus, come follow me? Hey, come where I'm going. No. The Bible says we're supposed to follow. We're followers of Jesus. He's not followers of us. And see, a lot of time, convenient Christianity is Jesus following us. Commitment Christianity is us following Jesus. Somebody say, I'm committed. Somebody say, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Amen. So the key to walking in what I call these grace gifts. I don't know about you, but I want to walk in some joy. I want to walk in some peace. I want to walk in long suffering, which is patience. You got to long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I want that to be part of my life. I want that to be, you know, the fruit that I'm walking in, and you can walk in that fruit. Amen. So we're focusing on the root system. You know, the root system is the key that produces the strength of the tree and produces, you know, the longevity of it. And the root system is love. Thus, my title is Love, the Root of the Fruit. Love, the Root of the Fruit. Amen. And so it all comes down to love. If you think about this, because if you think about this, when Jesus came, you know, he was dealing with Pharisees and Sadducees. He was dealing with religious people. And I'm going to say this, religious people can be the meanest people in the world. Well, you can say, I'm religious. No. Say that you're spiritual. but religious people can be the meanest people because they go by a list of rules and laws and legalities. And they say, I'm following these lists of laws and rules and legalities. And they think they're doing it perfectly. But they're really not. And then they try to measure everybody else by how they're doing. And they think they're doing great. And then they down everybody else for not doing as good as they are. That's religious people. Somebody say, I'm not religious. I'm relational. And so we need to be relational people. This is what the gospel is about. It's a relational gospel, if I got that right. Amen. Relational. I make up words up here. Amen. Is that all right? And so, glory to God. My English teacher would be shooting me right now, right? Amen. But God is good. I can make it up. Amen. I'm up here. Amen. Glory to God. I think you're okay with that. Amen. Glory to God. So if we're going to walk in the love of God, we need to produce, it can produce beautiful fruit in our lives, and we must resist the flesh and embrace the Spirit. So if we're going to walk in love, we must learn to be selfless and not selfish. The flesh is all about self. The Spirit of love is all about pleasing God and serving others. Again, The flesh is about me, myself, and I, as I coin it like this, the false trinity. The false trinity. Me, myself, and I. That's what the flesh, it's all about self. It's how is this going to affect me? Why should I go to church? What is the church going to do for me, you know? Why should I get up and go to church in the morning? Why should I do all these things? Because God has something good for you. But you don't go to church just for yourself. Oh, boy, I'm. You go for not just for yourself. You go for God, number one, because you want to honor God. And number two, you go to honor others that come to church. Because honor is a big thing in God. Honoring God and honoring others. In other words, we must love others even greater than ourselves. Isn't that what Jesus taught us? Amen. So I love that. So in this day, in the age that we live in, people are all about themselves. They're focused on them. Is that right? You know, and the Instagram me and all that. They focus on themselves. It says in 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2, it says, and we don't want this to be part of us. We don't want to be like the world. So in 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2, it says, but know this, that in the last days, somebody say we're in the last days. Perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. Amen. Lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. I'm just stopping right there. That's the world, but that should not be the church. The world is lovers of themselves. In other words, they put themselves first. But when you are lovers of God and others, you put God first, others, and then you. Amen. God, others, you. Amen? And when we get it in the right order, that's when we're going to have that joy come in our life. That's when we're going to have that peace come in our life. That's when we're going to have the fruit of the Spirit operating in our lives. Amen? And so we need to understand this. So we can't be selfish. We need to be selfless. And you know, this is really cool. In Matthew 20, 25 through 28, Jesus encountered the mother of James and John, and the mother came to and bowed down to Jesus. The mother of James and John bowed down to Jesus, and he said, "What would you like me to do for you?" Jesus said that to her. That's pretty cool. I mean, Jesus said, "What would you like me to do?" You know, that's a servant's heart. What would you like me to do? And she said, "I want both my kids to sit on the right and left hand of you in heaven." I'm telling you, she was a mother that was getting her kids promoted. Hallelujah. She was excited about that. I want them to be at the right and left. What mother doesn't want their kids to be exalted or to be in a place of a high position? And so she was like, she bowed down. And Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with? And they said, yes. We can do it. And he said, yeah, you will be baptized with a similar baptism. But for those positions, that's up to the Father. So Jesus, it wasn't up to Jesus, right? Thank God that he could pass the buck. Amen. And so anyway, he said, that's up to the Father. Amen. And because those places still might be open. I would say again, those places might still be open. How many people would like to be in a place like that? Amen? Somebody said, no, I just want to be far back. No, you don't want to be traveling. You don't want to be far back. You want to be as close to Jesus as possible. And so Jesus now is talking about, and we're going into this, what I'm going to read in Matthew 20, 25. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers and the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's powerful. So we see here that he's saying that we should not be trying to get in positions so that we can be boss, so that we can boss people around. I want to be the boss, right? But you know, it's not always fun being the boss, you know, because it's a lot more responsibility being the boss, amen, being the leader. Why? Because you got to lead by example. Glory to God. And really, in this church, I believe in servant leadership. In other words, I believe that even from my position all the way down to any position in the church, we serve and we serve one another, we serve the Lord, and no job is too big and no job too small for us to put our hand to. Amen. Glory to God. And I still set up tables and I still break them down if I'm not too busy talking. Amen. And I still help. Amen. Why? Because we're all in it to win it. We're all in it together. I might have my position up here where I might be teaching, and it's a teaching and pastor position, but you have your position where you're at. And if we're all fulfilling our positions, it's going to make a beautiful church. Do you believe that? So we got to get in that place so that we can run a race, so we won't, you know, so we won't be a disgrace and won't fall on our face. Amen? And we got to run our race with grace. Hallelujah. And so God will help us do that. And so we got to, again, we got to fight against the flesh, and we got to walk in the Spirit. And so to do that, we got to walk in love, and walking in love is being a servant. Number two, if we're going to walk in love of God, we must be like God and be givers and not takers. You see, love gives, lust takes. It's very similar sounding words, love and lust. But lust takes, love gives. And we got to be very careful that we're just not trying to take all the time. That we're not greedy. We're not trying to be greedy and takers. Amen. That we learn to be givers. That's why you come to church. Why do you come to church? You come to church because you start learning to be a giver. You start learning to give of yourself. As you come to church, you give to yourself, to others. Amen. God may give you a word to enlighten somebody, to encourage somebody. Amen. You may put your hand to the plow in the church and be a teacher or an usher or a greeter, and you're giving out. Amen. And that's what we need to learn to do, is be givers and not just takers. And a lot of the church world are takers and they're not givers. Boy, it's quiet in this Methodist church today. Say, I'm a giver, not a taker. I love that. And so I love this because the golden text of the Bible, the golden text of the Bible is John 3:16. And John 3:16, every Christian should have this memorized. If you're a Christian, you should have this memorized. And John 3:16 is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. This is powerful because this is saying that God gave his very best to us, and Jesus gave his very best to us, his own life for our life. Jesus gave his life so that we could have eternal life. That's powerful. I love that. And I love that because I really believe that God wants us to reciprocate his love. That word reciprocate is a big word, amen? It means that he wants us to match his love as much as we can. In other words, if God loves us, we should show some love back to him. Are you showing any love towards God lately? Are you showing him how much you really love him? Well, you show him how much you love him by how much you love others. Oh, I'm going somewhere today. You show God how much you love him by the least that you do of these, you've done unto me. Amen. Now, we are saved by grace through faith, not of works. But we are saved to do good works. You believe that today? So because of our life in Christ, it should compel us to do good works. It should compel us to. When I got saved, the first thing I wanted to do was go to church. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to get the Word of God in me. I wanted to get close to God. And I'm going to say this, you got to keep the fire burning. Don't let the fire burn out in your life. Keep it stoked. Keep the fire of God's love burning in your hearts. Don't ever get lackadaisy in your walk with Christ. Stay vigilant, stay fervent in your love to God. Amen. And so I love that. So Jesus, he's asking the disciples for commitment. Remember I said this is a gospel commitment? In Matthew 16:24 it says this way, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I love that. And so there, everybody has a cross that God gives us to live our lives out. And it's the calling that God has for us. And that cross doesn't have to be a burdensome cross. It, if you do it right, it can be a joyful cross. Do you believe that today? And so we all got to pick up our cross and follow Jesus. In other words, we all got to, you know, you may not, the flesh says, don't read the Bible today. But the Spirit says, read the Word. The flesh says, don't put no worship music on. But the Spirit says, put some worship music on. Why? Because we got to stay fired up for God. We got to keep the fires of God's love burning in our lives. I love that. And so there's a blessing in being a giver, giving your life to God. In Luke 6:38, it says, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For the same measure that are used, it will be measured back to you. So this gospel that we're in, this Christian walk that we're in, it's about sowing and reaping. Amen? And when we sow, we will reap what we sow, glory to God. Giving and receiving. Amen? And so he's saying here is that God's love should compel us to be givers. Number three, flesh walks in offense. Love walks in forgiveness. So some people in the body of Christ have been offended. And some people get offended in church. And the devil wants to get people offended in church. And what they do is they get them to leave the church and say, I'm never going to darken a church door again. And they leave the church, but they said, but I'm still going to love Jesus. I'm just going to make my own church in my own house. Right? But you know what? That's not really a church. You know, God created church to have pastors, which I pastor the flock so I can feed the sheep, and I pray for you and you know, and watch over your souls, glory to God. And so really, church is for us to come. It's a gathering place of believers, and we're supposed to gather together as believers to encourage one another. Why? Because a day is drawing near. We're in the last days. What day is that? Jesus is coming back. So is your oil filled? Are you ready for Jesus' return? Are you fired up for God? Or are you lukewarm, backslidden, milquetoast Christian? I hope not. I hope you're fired up. Hopefully you're getting fired up for God and that you're getting ingrained in the love of God. So flesh walks in offense and love walks in forgiveness. Amen. In other words, don't allow the devil to get you offended in church or to get you offended with other people. Amen. And people use that as an excuse. Oh, the pastor didn't say hi to me, so I'm not coming back to church. He ignored me that Sunday. Come on, get a grip. Amen. Maybe the pastor has something else on his mind. Maybe there's a half a dozen things he's going through in his life. You know what I'm saying? Or that brother or sister didn't greet me. That, you know, they normally greet me. Or they sat in my seat. That's a good one. They sat in my seat. And they got in my seat. That's it. I'm not coming back. They got in my seat. I'll just watch it online. And I'm so thankful for the online viewers. Thank you. Keep viewing. We love you. Keep watching. Amen. But I'm telling you, it's better when you're in the game. You know, there's a football game going on today. Amen? And there's some people that are going to the football game, the Super Bowl. Amen? And it's a lot more fun at the Super Bowl. I don't know about that, but I guess it is. Amen? It's more fun when you're in that box, right? That real close-up box. Amen? And so flesh walks in offense, and love walks in forgiveness. So you can't get around this life without having opportunities to be offended. Jesus said, offenses will come to everybody. Jesus actually said that. And I love that. And so I love this model prayer that Jesus prayed. And it's coined as the Lord's Prayer. Amen? It should be called the people's prayer. And I love it because it's a great prayer that you can pray verbatim, or you can pray it as a template, as when you're praying for different things in your life. I use it as a template. And so in this manner, therefore, the disciples asked him, how do you pray? And Jesus in Matthew 6, 9, and 13 said it this way: in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And this is where I want to focus on. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Think about that. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. So in this prayer, it's talking about, first it starts off with worshiping God, our Heavenly Father, worshiping Him, amen, of who He is. And then your kingdom come in my life. Your will be done. I love that. And then he says here, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. So this is connected. God's forgiveness is predicated on us forgiving others. Oh, I'm going somewhere today. God's forgiveness is connected directly to us forgiving others. Would you agree with me there? And so we have to learn to forgive. You got to learn to forgive yourself as well. Amen. The odd people are holding themselves in check. And you need to stop holding yourself in check. You need to release that and let it go. Amen. Because God's more interested in your future, not in your past. Amen. And so I love that. Then he says this way in Matthew 6, 14 and 15. He says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is powerful. You know, you hear about the unpardonable sin, you know, that sin unto death, it's called. It's a sin that you sin and you're in trouble if you do that sin. But this is very close to being an unpardonable sin, is not forgiving others. Why? Because it says that God won't forgive you, so you're not going to be pardoned. Ooh, that's good. So you got to forgive others for God to forgive you. That's what this is saying here, that we need to walk in love. Why? Or the torturers, Jesus said, the torturers will come and torture us. In other words, you know, forgiving people is not for them, it's for you. I'm going to say again, forgiving people is not to let them off the hook. It's really to let you off the hook of offense and bitterness. Why? Because if you stay in offense and bitterness, you're not going to get better. You're just going to get bitter. And so you got to release it. So really, that's the key. And I love that. So I think about Jesus. And I think about Jesus was on the cross, and he was being crucified. And you know, it said in a passage that he could have called a legion of angels. And I think, you know, maybe the angel Gabriel, the warring angel, amen? Michael, the warring angel. And maybe all these other warring angels were listening, waiting as Jesus was on the cross to say, Father, come get me. And they were probably upset and angry because mankind was crucifying the Lord of glory. And they were just waiting for just the word, because they would have wiped out this planet. They would have went and got Jesus even off the cross. But then they heard something different. And as Jesus was on that cross, Jesus said, Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then when that reverberated through the heavenlies, and all the angels were perplexed, and all the angels that were there to protect Jesus, they just stepped back. And they understood, now they understood the angels were not there to destroy mankind, but to serve mankind. Jesus made it a way so that he could ask forgiveness. Now the next level to forgiveness is not that you're forgiving those, is that you're praying for those that hurt you. That's the next level. See, you could say, well, I forgive them, but I'm not going to forget. I'm going to remember. But really, what you need to do is go to the next level. What's the next level? Is start praying for them. Because if you start praying for those that despitefully use you, Matthew says in Matthew 5:43, you have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. I don't know about you, when I read that, that's hard. I read that, Jesus, are you sure about this? I kind of want to take that out of the Bible, because I kind of want my own revenge, beloved. You slap me, I'm going to slap you back. That's the flesh. But the Spirit turns the other cheek. The Spirit, when you're walking in the Spirit of God, you're not rendering evil for evil. No, you're overcoming evil with good. And even though people may mistreat you, and people might say all manners of evil against you, you walk in love no matter what they're doing, no matter what they're saying, and you pray for them, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And guess what? You get released. And you're not harboring any ill will or bitterness towards them. They're released. And then pretty soon you walk in love towards them, and guess what? Your enemies may become your best friends. Ooh, glory to God. And number four, flesh is unthankful and love is thankful. Flesh is unthankful. Paul is in Romans talking about unredeemed people, people of the world, people that don't know Jesus. Does anybody in here know anybody that doesn't know Jesus? Amen. Probably a lot of people. Amen. And so there is a penalty for those that don't know Jesus. There's hell to pay for those that don't know Jesus. Some people don't want to talk about that. What, Pastor? No, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. There's a heaven to gain. And this is God's attitude about sin. It says here in Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So here it's saying here that God is fired up. He's angry about sin, about ungodliness. He's angry about unrighteousness. He's angry about people hurting other people. Let me put it that way. He's angry about the murderers and the rapists and all these people doing all these heinous things. God hates that because it destroys people's lives. And so there is a judgment day for those people if they don't repent. There is a judgment day for each one. And we got to pray for them. Glory to God. But he says here, but this is interesting. In verse 21, or in verse 21, it says this, because although they knew God, notice this, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Notice this, it says, although they knew God, that these people that turned away from God, they had a glimmer of light, they know instinctly that there's a God in heaven, even though they may tell you there's no God. You know, there's some people that are atheists. They say, there's no God. But really, God has already revealed himself through the nature. He's already revealed himself through there. And they already know on the inside, there is a God. They're lying to themselves. And they're trying to cover it up. And so what he's saying here is that what they did was they didn't glorify God for who he is, and they didn't give God thanks. And it said that their hearts were darkened. These two things, we got to be very careful. We got to be very careful that we don't shut down the praise in our life and we don't shut down the thanksgiving in our lives. We better keep the praise going and we better keep the thanksgiving going. Why? If we stop thanking and praising God, giving him glory, if their hearts got darkened, our hearts will get darkened. And I don't want a dark heart. I want a light heart. I want a heart that's full of God. And I don't want to be going away from God, but I want to be pressing in to the things of God. Amen. And I love that because we need to continue, regardless of what you're dealing with, regardless of the circumstances you're in, you still can give praise and thanksgiving. Not for that thing, but because God can bring you through that thing. Amen. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Underline that. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Paul also says in Hebrews, therefore by him let us continually, notice it says continually, Hebrews 13:15, offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that the fruit of our lips give thanks to his name. Can I ask you a question today? Are you a praiser? Do you thank God? Do you thank God regardless of what it looks like in your life, regardless of the shortfall, regardless of the pain that you might be dealing with, the issues you might be dealing with? Are you giving God some praise and thanksgiving like Paul and Silas? Because Paul and Silas was doing the right things, but the wrong things were happening to them. They were in Philippi preaching the gospel, doing what God was calling them to do. And even though you can do what God calls you to do, bad things can happen. Don't think that bad things don't happen to godly people, because bad things can happen to godly people. There's a lot of martyrs. So bad things can happen because we live in a world, and the Bible says that the devil is the god of this world system. Amen. And so we need to continue to keep the praise going like Paul and Silas. And when they praised and worshiped God, they were preaching, they got thrown in prison, they were beat, they were in irons, they were in stocks. And when they praised God, the chains fell off, the doors opened, and they walked out as free men. Praise will free you. Some of you might need to praise God a little bit more. And the reason why some of you aren't praising God is because you're forgetting what God has done for you. And you, lest we forget. And you can't forget what God has done for you. And I love Psalms 103 because it talks about remembering what God has done for us. In Psalms 103:1-6, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none, not all his benefits. Notice it says, forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all those who are oppressed. I'm going to say this to you today. You don't know what God has protected you from. We get out there in our cars, we're driving on the highway, and you don't know that drunk driver that was set up to take you out. You don't know what God has done to protect you. And God protects us, and he's keeping us. You're not keeping yourself. God's keeping you. So in closing, if you're going to walk in the love of God, the love of God will inspire us to be selfless. The love of God will compel us to be givers. The love of God will motivate us to love, show mercy, and forgiveness. And the love of God will prompt us to worship and give thanks to God. And when we're doing these things, we'll always be close to God. We'll always have our oil filled and we'll be ready for the return of Jesus. Did you receive it today? Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. I thank you, Father God, that you're preparing this church for glorious things ahead. I thank you, Father God, for those that are here listening, watching. Perhaps you've never bowed your knee to Jesus. Well, the Bible says today is a day of salvation. You may not have another chance. And if the Holy Spirit's drawing you, then I want you to confess this simple prayer and mean your heart. If you're ready to receive Jesus as your Lord, just say this and mean your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Heavenly Father, I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.